Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another show of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and we have a great lineup today and a special episode today with some special people around the table.
Special people.
Very special. We actually have our sponsor here today, Alvaro. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Relaxed from the long weekend.
Me too. Hard to get up this morning.
It was.
Yeah. And he is with 3A Law Practice Management. We have Sue Hong with Blevins & Hong coming back for another visit today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we have the one and only Randy Kessler.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Thanks so much for being here. I know that it was hard to get back, but we got you here.
Travel delays and all that kind of stuff. It's all good.
Yay. And we have Bruce Hagen also in the studio. He'll be joining us in just a minute. And I just want to, again, remind our listeners that Atlanta Legal Experts Radio has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices and by 3A Law Practice Management. You can see their web links to their website on atlantalegalexperts.com. And we also have another sponsor, Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. So we thank you to all of our sponsors today. And today we have a special announcement. Again, it is for the, go ahead, Alvaro.
The future of lawyer marketing. We're putting together an event on June 10th at the Commerce Club. And Randy and I get asked a lot of marketing questions all the time. And we've given marketing CLEs and seminars around the country.
Out of the country, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And out of the country, Costa Rica. And, you know, we've been talking about marketing techniques for as long as we've known each other, and we thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of put us together, see what's happening, because what we're seeing is there's three types of marketing. There's the new generation where we're trying to create new marketing ideas, the established young people under 50 who want to leverage what they've got, and then I've got a whole host of older clients over 50. Good morning, Bruce Hagen.
Welcome, Bruce.
Good morning.
Who are looking to refresh their marketing network. So
awesome.
I think between, you know, the panel that we have and then the networking opportunity after, it should be a good event.
And we have the State Bar of Georgia's YLD Affiliates Solo Small Firm Committee and Peachtree Offices as the sponsors. And I believe, Sue, you're also a sponsor as well.
Well, I am the co-chair of the State Bar's YLD Solo and Small Firm, and we'll be sponsoring the happy hour networking event right after the seminar.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, should be a good event.
So the topic is Nothing You've Ever Seen, the Hybrid Future of Lawyer Marketing. Can I get just a little scoop about that, like maybe a couple of points?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think
a little teaser.
Yeah, the unique aspect about what we're bringing is you've got somebody who does the marketing within a law firm, you know, an attorney who's just, you know, innately great at it. And then you've got a law firm consultant who can give you the actual tips and the how-to. So a lot of the experience that Randy has, we've been able to translate it into steps that each attorney can take into their own practice. So,
See, Alvaro's being kind. I think when he said he got to the older lawyers, he said, you know, they want to refresh their marketing efforts. I think I'm there to show that the older lawyers don't have to be dragged kicking and screaming into marketing, that it's there. And actually, everyone that's making a living as a lawyer or other professional has learned how to market, whether they acknowledge it or not. And the real question is not just, you know, what do I do? What do other lawyers do? But what do you do that works for you? Why does it work for you? How do you do more of it? And we're just going to explore the stuff that really they didn't teach us in law school. And Bruce knows and Sue knows.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say, and Alvaro is not just being kind when he talks about Randy as being a master marketer. And excuse me, I've got a little bit of a sore throat. But I've known Randy since we took a bar review course together back in ancient days. And
black and white.
It was on papyrus.
we were young lawyers who developed our skills kind of along the same path and at the same time. But I watched Randy just grow his business and grow his practice into something beyond just the marketing. But the marketing was so organic and natural for him that when he speaks on this subject, you really are hearing from somebody who's just a master at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
You need to listen.
It's going to be the Mutual Admiration Society, because that all goes for Bruce, too. I mean, Bruce is, he's the guy in personal injury, NFL concussion cases. I mean, from a little guy that, you know, couldn't hit a jump shot on the basketball court to the superstar that he is, he's been fun to watch.
And Bruce is on, he's on the radio. on it. He's a big foodie, so he likes the radio. So he knows marketing, and he's also a cartoon character in Archer.
Yes, my wife says I'm animated.
That's not one of the tips, though, is it, for the lawyers?
No,
you have to become a cartoon character to promote your practice.
Unique to Bruce, yeah.
Awesome.
You know,
so,
but there's something there, you know?
Yeah.
There
is. I wanted to be a superhero, but instead I became just a character.
Don't we all? So it's easy to market your practice. It's a lot easier than a lot of people think, I believe. Is that what you're going to come across?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It really is. I mean, I don't want to talk myself out of a job, but, you know, there's some really fun basic fundamentals that it turns, you know, what I notice is that a lot of my clients, they kind of know, you know, what's out there. They just either want a validation, like, am I barking up the wrong tree or is this a good investment? Right. Or just reaffirmation of what they kind of already know, and then that accountability of making sure they do it.
Well, gotcha. You know, what's interesting to me is that people ask Alvaro for validation because he's done it and he's grown law firms and made them big. But, you know, him not being a lawyer but being around lawyers and helping them grow, it's amazing. So I think maybe that's why he roped me into this, just to say, look, if in case you don't believe me, you know, there's somebody here that says this stuff does work, and it does. And there's no secret sauce for everybody. It's, you know, right. What works for you, and that's what Alvaro is really good at, is figuring out what people's strengths are with it. You know, mm-hmm. Not everybody can be a cartoon character and pull it off with grace and dignity, you know?
Yeah, but I tell you what I see that is pretty apparent is when some lawyers try a path that's maybe been recommended for them, and it just doesn't fit with who they are. And you can kind of tell that, you know, this isn't working. And mm-hmm. Alvaro is very good at trying to find those things about people that, hey, this is who you are, and push this out there, and it'll be very natural and it'll be effective for you, as right. opposed to just trying to say, all right, this is the cookie cutter approach, so try what other people do, and then that'll work for you as well. He's very good at identifying somebody's strengths and getting them to push that out there.
Thanks, guys.
I love that, yeah. So it's not only for attorneys. I've heard.
I mean, we were, you know, we obviously focus around attorneys, but we were talking about how applicable a lot of these practices are. You know, I've been asked by doctors, by CPAs, wealth advisors, you know, how does it work? How do lawyers market? And there's a lot of, you know, tricks out there that I think would be beneficial for other people to benefit from, basically.
Mm-hmm. We're going to say useful ideas.
Useful ideas, yeah. Useful ideas instead of
so
tricks.
You can apply it to almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're running your own business, it really is about marketing, getting your name out there, having other people get your name out there for you. And so we do think it'll apply to other professionals out there, young professionals.
Well, I mean, I think marketing is also a lot about giving, you know, that's sales is about giving. What can I do for you? And if you're
that's
there
so
meeting
funny. I just literally wrote a blog that I'm about to publish today that's all about sales, not the old sales, but sales is actually giving. That's so funny that
what
you
can,
just said that.
You know, and if you can do something for somebody, I'm a firm believer what goes around comes around. So,
absolutely.
You know, if you're trying to have doctors recommend cases to you or accountants, they need cases as well. They need clients. They need business. So, you know, you want to be around the kind of people that have the same kind of clients as you.
I may be speaking at this thing.
Why not? I want to hear from Sue.
Sue, come on, pitch in.
Well, I feel like I'm kind of like the representative of the younger lawyers here at this table. Not saying you guys are old.
No, but that's
right. You don't have to, Sue. We know.
But so I'm the co-chair of the Young Lawyers Solo Small Firm, and our committee has a lot of younger lawyers that are going out on their own. I think in the last several years, just as far as the job market goes, a lot of them weren't able to get jobs, so a lot of young lawyers decided to open up their own shop. And myself included, I have my own firm, and I realize obviously marketing is big in having a successful law firm. And you're right in the sense that there are some things that work for my friends that don't work for me, and vice versa. And it depends on the different types of areas of practice and just your personality. I have friends that go out to networking events all the time, and it works for them. And I have friends that don't do any of that, and it works for them. So it's just about learning what's out there. And so we wanted to reach out to all the young lawyers and young professionals, I guess, in general, to get them to see what kind of marketing is out there and what would work for them. And I've tried, I guess I've had my own firm with another partner for about 3 years now. And we've tried all kinds of stuff. So I think, and we're constantly learning. And every year or every different areas of law, different things work. So I think it'll be a really good opportunity for younger lawyers, the younger generation, to see what's out there, see what's worked for different attorneys that have been in the practice for a while.
And you work with the solo and small firms, so you see just about every practice area.
Exactly.
In your group.
Exactly. And I also have attorneys that have either opened up their own shop or have decided to open up their own shop and not exactly do law practice, but other stuff that associate legal areas as well. So we meet a lot of younger lawyers that are kind of trying to do different things out there, and not just practice law.
That was the idea with coming up with the hybrid future, because I mean, it really is, you know, a lawyer consultant. You see lawyers, you know, utilizing their degree in other ways.
Should we let them know our secret, Alvaro? Alvaro and I are not the people that are going to teach everything. We're going to actually learn more there than we're going to teach. So that's what's really exciting to me. You know, we see all these young lawyers and people that have done it 100 different ways. And every now and then we're going to say, that's not a bad idea.
That's a good one. Let's add that one to the...
Well, now that things are more mobile, people are more hybrid. They're working and playing at the same time. It's not go to work 8 to 5, you know. And that's why the virtual office is really huge right now. But it's, you know, doing what you're passionate about, and law is one, but then you could still have other things that you do that you're passionate about, and you can actually put them together.
Yeah, it's I've
been
saying this.
Too much.
No, I've been saying it, that the legal landscape has changed easily 10 years ago, that the clients are different. They want more value out of their attorneys. Mm-hmm. They're looking to hire people, not stuffy lawyers. And then on the other mm-hmm. side, you know, like Sue was saying, there are a lot of attorneys opening up their own shop because they want the quality of life. You know, it's not just about the money anymore. They
right.
want a balanced life. And so there is a lot of that hybrid activity on both sides, on the client side and on the lawyer side.
Yeah, and one thing I notice, and Randy and I are both in this category these days as having become the elder statesman in our profession.
Stop.
And we get a lot of younger lawyers. I know I have a lot of younger lawyers who I'll talk to who are considering making a change or going out on the road and doing something. And, you know, there are so many different ways, but some of the universal things that are the same, it doesn't matter what practice area you're in, have to do with the relationships you have with other lawyers mm-hmm. and the quality of your work. And unfortunately, what you see is that a lot of folks want to just come out and shortcut both those things. And they think that they could do that by crafting an image on social media or otherwise without any real foundation of, I do good work and this is why I'm going to be a good lawyer. And so there's really, there needs to be an emphasis just on developing your craft as much as possible in these formative years so that mm-hmm. when you get to be not quite the elder statesman that we are, you know, you can spend more time focusing on speaking at seminars and going to these young lawyer division, solo practitioner group luncheons and things. I've spoken at those in the past, and they're great. But I couldn't have done any of that if I didn't start out by busting my tail and developing my craft, so to speak.
Yeah, there was no internet, no fax machine. You had to go to the office Saturday and Sunday, every weekend. I know you were there and I was there.
I always wanted to be important enough to have a fax machine.
You know, it's sort of interesting that the seminar is about marketing, but we're skipping the first part. The first part is how to be a good lawyer. Now, obviously, you know, you can't market bad lawyering as easily as you can market good lawyering. So if you want to really be a great marketer, be a great lawyer. You know, it's a lot easier to sell a good product than to sell a bad product.
Right. And I tell the folks in my office, I say, hey, you know, you can have these great marketing efforts and outreach programs and, you know, you're active in your community. As soon as somebody refers you a case, if you don't do a great job on it, that news travels very fast.
Sure.
And that becomes the end of all those relationships you built up.
So tell me, Alvaro, how do we find out about this event? Where do we go online?
We right now, you can either email us at info@3alawmanagement.com. You can call us at 404-219-8076, and we can get you the link. You can also go to our website, 3alawmanagement.com, and there is a page to buy tickets. And there's two different prices, obviously, if you're a YLD member or a non-section member. And, you know, again, we think other professionals besides lawyers could really benefit from this. Mm-hmm. So they would fall in that second category.
And after the discussion, there will be a...
So thankfully, Petrie Offices and the Solo and Small Firm Committee are sponsoring a happy hour after the event. So the idea is, you know, we'll speak, we'll have a question and answer period for people who have want clarity on some of the stuff that we spoke about, and then network amongst one another, amongst other practice area professionals, other people, obviously, that are looking to market their own business. And we'll have complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres at Capital City Club. It's on the 49th floor of the 191 building downtown.
And quick marketing tip, those of you professionals who are not lawyers and want to get business from lawyers or who depend on lawyers for referrals, this is a good place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the questions that I had actually for Sue is you mentioned you are the co-chair of the committee. So what are the responsibilities of the co-chair? What's your involvement in?
Well, we put on different events or happy hours or even continuing legal education per year for our committee members. Committee members change every year. It's whoever sign up. And we, every year, this is my second year being a co-chair for the committee, and every year we get newer, younger lawyers that join the committee.
Aha, you're getting old.
Right. And they want, and I get different feedback as to what they want. And a lot of them in the recent years have wanted more networking, more marketing, because a lot of them, like I said, are opening up their own shops. So we thought this would be a really great opportunity for them to come to the seminar. And I think, Bruce, you made a really good point. It is true that a lot of younger lawyers, they're out to get business, but you're only good as, you know, you have to be really good at what you do as well. Just because you get a lot of clients in doesn't mean that they're all going to stick around. And so I think it's a good emphasis to say that you need to be a good lawyer and work on that as a younger lawyer. But yeah, we thought that it would be a good opportunity for us to open up a networking event for the younger lawyers and do a networking thing afterwards.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. All right. Let me just remind everybody that this show, again, has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices, where you can work virtually anywhere, and by 3A Law Practice Management, helping lawyers start and grow their practice, and by Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. And you can see all their links on the website, AtlantaLegalExpertRadio.com. And also, you'll be able to see all the bios and the contact information of all of our guests here today. And I'm going to start with Alvaro, because he is the co-host today and the sponsor.
Wanted to welcome Bruce onto the show. I really am fortunate that I like all of my clients. And they're really, you know, although they practice law, they're really unique individuals. And Bruce here is one of those eclectic individuals, very talented. He graduated from University of Florida, go Gators, where he was on the walk-on for the football team. I did not know that.
That is correct.
I thought that was a typo. And then he ended up...
I also walked off. Maybe limped off.
He went to George Washington University, started working as a lawyer for 5 years before opening his own practice, and he's really just been able to help over 10,000 personal injury victims, and he's also tried over 200 cases. So he is like a hybrid personal injury attorney, where you have either the kind who just do pre-suit, you know, accidents all day, but they don't try a case, or you have the PI attorneys who they take a low volume and they try all their cases. Mm-hmm. And Bruce does both. I mean, he's not afraid to try a case if it's in his client's best interest. He's lectured all over for Georgia Trial Lawyers, ICLE, and most recently he had a leadership role in the famous NFL concussion litigation, where he represented more than 500 former pro football players in that action. Excitingly, you've got some things happening this summer. You just launched BikeLaw.com. Tell us... you know, he's a CrossFit guy. He just went biking across, I don't know, Croatia or somewhere.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bike Law BikeLaw.com is a pretty exciting group. It's a national advocacy group of lawyers that really are trying to help educate the public and advocate for bicyclists' rights, and also to try to help transform cities into safer places for bicycling. But at the same time, of course, representing injured cyclists. And the bike law started with a lawyer in South Carolina and has gradually spread. So I'm glad that they asked me to be the lawyer for the state of Georgia. And it is pretty new here, but we're spreading the message. And, you know, you talk about marketing and branding, and I really don't have to do much because Bike Law is a known national brand out there. But the combination of trying to help individuals with their needs when they do get hurt, but beyond that, just trying to advocate for some bigger changes and more citywide and statewide changes is what excites me the most about it.
For cyclists, I mean, more the Beltline, or just are you talking about in traffic?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about it, really. But yeah. But in terms of, you know, for example, City of Atlanta just approved a $250 million infrastructure bond. And so through groups like the Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, they're trying to make sure that some of that money goes towards smart ways to allow for bicycles, pedestrians, and motorists to share the roads. And you can do that. There's a lot of good solutions out there. You know, I try these cases, like you said. Excuse me. And jurors are just like anybody else who are frustrated by the times that they have to either wait to pass bicyclists or see these cyclists weaving in and out of traffic, and they get kind of ticked off at the bicyclists. So, you know, they don't really want to necessarily compensate them for their injuries even when they're not at fault. There are ways that you can plan your cities and plan your roads so that motorists don't have to be so frustrated and cyclists don't have to be so afraid just to get out and enjoy a nice bike ride.
So tell us about some of the other things you do. I mean, you're on 680 The Fan. You're on Atlanta Eats.
Yeah, I've gotten involved in several different things. I mean, I've been eating really solid food most of my life, so I feel qualified to talk about food, and certainly Atlanta's a great food city. But it goes back, too, to just my association with sports radio and getting involved there. And the sports talk radio, and then Steak Shapiro, who had been one of Randy, my basketball buddies, who was big with 790 The Zone, founded this Atlanta Eats thing, kind of as an idea of, you know, what can he do to combine a passion with a business? And then...
I love that.
Yeah, and now at 680, you know, we've kind of taken that. So I'm doing the sports talk there, sometimes in the afternoons with Chuck and Chernoff. But the Atlanta Eats radio thing we do every Saturday morning with Mara Davis, who's just fantastic. Everybody knows Mara from her Dave FM days, knows so much about music, but even more about food, and is just a lunatic, passionate person about it. And so she's constantly harassing me and engaging me, and it's really just kind of fun. I mean, occasionally they do ask me some legal questions, but really more so it's just about, you know, just talking about stuff that's fun to discuss and easy and very natural for me to talk about.
I mean, there are no wrong answers?
Pretty much there's no wrong answers. I mean, you know, either you like beet salad or you don't, and it doesn't make you a bad person. There's no judgment involved. Well, actually, there is.
So with all these extracurricular activities, I know it goes towards, you know, the awareness of helping injured cyclists, helping, you know, injured people. Where do you have time to do everything? I mean...
Yeah, well, going back to what you said, all the other things, I mean, look, there are different ways to be a personal injury lawyer. And one way is to just come in and say, I'm going to spend a fortune on advertising. Not so much branding, but advertising. I'm going to be the guy on every bus. I'm going to be the guy in every commercial, every Judge Judy show and all the other shows. And I'm going to spend a ton, and I'm going to make a little bit more than that ton. And that's just not the approach that I've taken. So for me, I want to find ways to stand out. You know, you talk about, like, as a young lawyer, what can I do to make myself noticed? For me, this was about branding. And it's hard to brand yourself as just another personal injury lawyer when there are so many, and there are so many others who are screaming about it much louder than you are. So if folks will know me and say, oh, yeah, you know, I saw you debating Steak Shapiro about the best sandwich at a deli, or I heard you talking about, you know, some Alabama football player who got into trouble. You know, just anything to make you stand out and have a little bit more of a personal connection. And, you know, people's sports affiliations and the things that they eat are very personal to them.
And the cartoons they watch.
And the cartoons. Now, that was just, I have to say, that was really just for fun. I can't say I'm branding myself as a character on Archer, but that was just
for
fun. But
it does keep name recognition out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a talking point.
Yeah, and you know, this goes to something, Emily, you were saying earlier, but people confuse marketing for just social media, and they think that that's all they have to do is occasionally do something on Facebook. But the animated character thing, you know, I've kind of enjoyed making that my persona out there in the fun side of my
fun
social
side,
media.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. That'd be awesome.
So, known as the People's Lawyer, I know you have your Hagen Law app, which is you can download. It's got a lot of great tips for you if you're in an accident. Take notes, call the police.
Okay.
Call your attorney. It's got a camera on there.
Look, you can hit me up on the app from the scene of the accident. I'll activate the Hagen copter, and we'll be out there immediately to get to work.
But so
is there a big H we put out?
I'm working on that. The bat signal.
So it's a free app. What do I do if I'm in a car wreck? But how else can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, if you can't get hold of me, you're really just not trying. So I have a telephone, which you can call.
What's that?
Well, 800-I-AM-HURT is one of the numbers, but 404-522-7553 is our office number. My office is right downtown Decatur in the heart of just, you know, one of the great neighborhoods that Atlanta has to offer.
Marble House?
Marble House, yeah. It's a historic old building just down the street from the courthouse. At Peeps Lawyer on Twitter.
And that's Peeps as in
P-E-E-P-S, lawyer. That's correct. On Twitter and Instagram, email me, bruce@bikelaw.com or bruce@hagen-law.com. I'm told it's not a dash anymore. It's a hyphen.
They change by the day.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Right. So, and beyond that, I mean, honestly, in today's day and age, if you can't find somebody when you know their name, then that's really problematic. They really need to call Alvaro if that's the case.
Or you don't need to find them.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe they don't want to be found.
Yeah. So we're going all the way from legal to marketing to food to ale.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about working out and CrossFit, that's really...
that's right up his alley.
That's the next thing.
Unfortunately, yes, I will put you to sleep talking about that.
I'm doing the other one, the other famous one, the videos. I won't say.
Is it start with the letter P?
Yes, yes, yes. It's 30 minutes. It's easy. I'm done. On with the show. So
that's awesome.
And I actually am kind of relating to this whole show because I never thought being at Peachtree Offices that I'd actually end up being a radio host. And it's so much fun. I've always wanted to. So anyway. So on to our next guest. We have Sue Hong here with Blevins & Hong. And she has helped hundreds of clients with their financial hardship by zealously representing them and advising them with the best options to rebuild their credit. She has represented clients from simple Chapter 7 cases to complex business Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 cases. She has helped many small business clients save their business while getting rid of their debt and rebuilding their credit. She prides herself in being able to provide strong personal relationships to her clients, which is why she owns her own practice. She understands the importance of the tough issues and decisions that her clients are facing and is available for her clients through each step. She finds that the most important aspect of her role as an attorney is to always be available to answer any questions or concerns of her clients. She has represented clients in all criminal cases and serves as a bankruptcy instructor at Chattahoochee Tech College. She is a recent recipient of the Cobb County Bar Association's Ross Adams Younger Lawyer Award. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice.
And the co-chair now of Younger Lawyer Division's Solo Small Firm Committee, which we have said previously on the show. So thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. So how did you get to where you are today?
So I've been practicing for about a little over 6 years. I went to Georgia Tech undergrad, didn't think about becoming a lawyer at all, took about 2 years off, decided maybe law practice is something to think about because my dad pushed it, and that's why I didn't want to do it. I ended up doing it and really loved it and still love it very much. And ended up going to Mercer Law School and started doing bankruptcy work. And I've always wanted to do small firm type of work because I wanted to be able to meet with my own clients and them know who's actually representing them. So, and it worked out well. I ended up, at a small firm in Marietta and ended up becoming a partner where I'm still at. And we're located right at Marietta Square. So it's a good area. I grew up in Marietta. So I'm really glad to be back where I grew up and helping the community where I grew up.
So how did you kind of get into the criminal side?
When I first came to the firm that I'm practicing now at, the partners there, they also did personal injury as well as criminal work. And actually one of the former partners is now a Cobb County Superior Court judge as well. So I kind of started learning a little more about criminal law as well as personal injury law from the partners and have started doing more of that practice in the last 2 years.
And so you're excited about it?
Very excited.
It sounds like you're passionate.
Yeah, just having different types of law. I know sometimes it doesn't work for a lot of attorneys. I think just focusing on one practice works for them just because that's just, you know, they want to be really good at one type of area. But to me, just having three different areas, it's not as boring.
It mixes it up.
Right. Mixes it up. And I like the clients. I like being in court. So it's been fun.
That's awesome. So what, I guess you can't really explain the recent case, but what's one of your favorite cases in general, obviously without going in detail?
I don't have one specific, but I will tell you that in the short time that I've been practicing, I have had a lot of interesting stories that have made me learn a lot more about not just law, but just about life. And I think that's the practice of law that I've actually really enjoyed. It's just meeting different people in different aspects of their life and different times of their life. And most of the time it is where they're at the very bottom of their lives. And I've learned a lot just with my bankruptcy clients, just financially, with my criminal clients, just everything. And that's one aspect of law, practicing law, that I really enjoy is being able to meet people and learn about them and just learning about life.
It teaches you lessons.
I've been taught a lot.
And you don't realize you're still young, but you're part of their rebound. I mean, they're coming to you when they're at their worst, and you're going to see 10, 15, I'm sure you're seeing it now, people that are back and you were there with them when. It's a nice feeling if you work hard.
It is, and I think that's what I really enjoy. I have clients that come back and, you know, hold my hand and give me hugs and say, thank you so much. I'm now much better. And that's why I enjoy what I do.
Hopefully they're not coming back for all the different things.
No. some.
So I guess you're practicing in three courts, bankruptcy, state, and superior. Do you have a preference, a favorite? They all kind of different?
They are all kind of different. And the judges are different. And prosecutors and trustees are different. I frequent bankruptcy court a lot, and I have been. And so it's just a matter of, I guess, comfort being in courtrooms where I know the judge and where I know the prosecutors or the trustee. Obviously is a lot easier than walking into, you know, a court that I've never been in. And they're kind of like, you walk in and they're like, are you a lawyer? Are you not? So
to county.
No, but you make a good point. And I know when I was starting my own practice as a younger lawyer and trying to figure out what I was going to do, I did some bankruptcy work. I did some divorce work. I did some criminal work. And every time I would go into a new situation, it was sort of like, if you're not part of this group, if you're not part of this fraternity of bankruptcy lawyers, mm-hmm. you're not part of this group of divorce lawyers we typically see, then you're an outsider. Mm-hmm. And as an outsider, you have a much harder time establishing credibility and getting good results for your clients. And I found, at least for me, that by finding the one thing that I could focus on where I would be an insider and I would be part of the community made huge sense for me. And that's one of the reasons, I mean, for me, it was personal injury law. But, you know, bankruptcy court in particular, you'd go down there and the trustees would just give you the stink eye. It's like, you know, who are you and what are you doing? This is horrible, you know, and the petitions you'd bring would get just, you know, big red X. I felt like I was back in grammar school.
Wow. Well,
for bankruptcy, I mean, do you work with a lot of divorce attorneys and PI attorneys?
Definitely. I have a group of divorce attorneys, especially around Marietta, that we refer each other cases because I that's what I came to the show last time was discussing bankruptcy as related to divorces, because a lot of people do both at the same time.
Funny how those go hand in hand.
Hand in hand, definitely. Just different. I have criminal clients that end up needing bankruptcy, or family members needing bankruptcy. I have a lot of personal injury clients with a lot of medical bills, and their personal injury case isn't finished yet, or it's just, you know, and their credit's being ruined, so having to file bankruptcy because of their medical record, medical bills. So yeah, a lot of different areas kind of come together as far as bankruptcy goes.
So tell me on that side of it, what's the difference between, because I've had this question before on the show, and it really was, to me, awesome, the difference between Chapter 7 and Chapter 11.
And Chapter 13.
And Chapter 13.
Yeah. There is a Chapter 11, which as well. This is a simple answer, because I do have a lot of potential clients that call with that question, and obviously it's a lengthier answer if I go into it in detail. But Chapter 7 is more for clients with lesser income, and it's the liquidation type of bankruptcy, where basically if you don't really have a lot of equity in any of the assets that you have, and you have a lot of unsecured debts like credit cards and medical bills, then Chapter 7 would be the best type of bankruptcy for you, where it just wipes everything out and you start over. Mm-hmm. Whereas a Chapter 13 are for clients with a little more income, a little more equity, more assets, and it's a reorganization type of bankruptcy, where they're able to put together all of their debts and pay monthly payments to the bankruptcy trustee to basically catch up on their debts or pay off their debts through the bankruptcy case.
So more for like a business or business owner?
Business owners, more for clients with a little more income that, you know, I have actually a lot of Chapter 13 clients are the ones who have lost their employment for a period of time, and then now are back to, you know, a higher earning type of income employment, and they're just not able to catch up what they got behind on during their unemployment. So, every client is different, and so I do consultations, obviously, to go through all of their options. And sometimes bankruptcy is not for them. Sometimes, you know, and I know a lot, there may be some bankruptcy attorneys that may push bankruptcy on people, but you know, I always tell them if it's not for them, it's not for them, and there are other options.
It sounds like you're very well-rounded, so you can really understand each client and what their needs are, which is great, which is why we had you back on the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So if you will let our listeners know how they can reach you.
They can go to my website. It's www.cobbcountylaw.com, or they can call my office at 678-354-2290, or they can email me at shong@cobbcountylaw.com.
Great, great. So, and you serve all of Atlanta, even though you're located in Cobb County, correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Can I just cut it here before we get to Randy for a second? It's so cool that we're here as part of this Buckhead Business Radio project, because people lose sight of the idea that lawyers are small businessmen and small businesswomen. I mean, you know, every one of us here has a small business, right? Mm-hmm. That's
absolutely
got a couple of owners and several employees. And, you know, we're part of the business community. It's a shame that occasionally, you know, we are at odds with the business community in the Chamber of Commerce, at least from the personal injury side. You know, a lot of the issues you run into involving things like tort reform, people are just losing sight that, you know, we are small businesses too. And the issues that lead somebody to go to Blevins and Hong because they're struggling financially, you know, a lot of times these are the same things that somebody gets in a car wreck and they can't work for a few months. It doesn't take much to take a small business and set it on its side where you know, things are just backwards, or they have a personal issue that is affecting their ability to run their business, and they seek out Randy, and he's, you know, the ultimate problem solver here in terms of trying to work out these disputes, but to do it in a way that allows the business to continue and allows, whether it's the business of your family, to continue, you know. So it's great to have lawyers involved with Buckhead Business. That's all I really wanted to say.
That's kind of the point of the show, Atlanta Legal Experts, and we are pro-business, and we always like to have, like, people say, what's the hot topic? What are we going to talk about? And I love that, and I love having topics, obviously, but it's really more for the attorney to get their word out about what they're doing and what their business is so that they can get more clients, for one, and then for two, just to kind of kill that bad image that they have.
But it goes back to what we were saying earlier, and a lot of it is about giving, and all the people in this room are absolute givers. I mean, Alvaro and I, we have just a symbiotic relationship. I talk to him and give him ideas. He gives me ideas, and it's just, you know, all of us. I don't do personal injury work, and, you know, but I know that Bruce Hagen's great at it, and we're here just sort of, if you guys get something out of listening to the show, great. We all feel good about it. We're not going to make a penny if somebody has a good idea and says, you know what, there's something besides bankruptcy. I'm going to go talk to her, and maybe she'll point me in the direction of consumer credit counseling or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know that Sue's going to feel good about that, even if she doesn't make a penny. I mean, it's just, it's a nice thing about being a lawyer, is really in a position to be able to help.
It's funny that you use the word giver, because that was actually, I don't know if you saw my notes here, but that was my theme for Randy, is that, you know, in the, 18 years or so that I've known him, he's the ultimate giver, you know, and it comes across.
You're going to make me cry.
I mean, it comes across in a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, for those of you who don't know him, him and his firm represent high complex custody matters, high asset divorces. They work, you know, their clients are celebrities and athletes, but they're also helping a lot of today's modern families and their complicated issues. He was the past chair of the American Bar Association Family Law Section. He's been just about on every channel on TV, almost every newspaper, you know. For his insight, he's on LinkedIn. He has 150,000 followers on LinkedIn.
Oh, the influencer.
Yeah, he's one of the influencers. You know, he created a child support app. He's got mydivorcebooks.com, where he wrote 3 books. And again, it's just giving. One is for, you know, the Georgia forms here in Georgia, how to file in the courts, you know, to help these people out. He wrote Divorce, Protect Yourself, Your Kids, and Your Future, which is a really, I wouldn't say basic, but educational, helpful guide of what to expect in the divorce process. And then he's also got, you know, How to Mediate a Georgia Divorce Book. So, I mean, he just gives and gives and gives, and it ends up, you know, that's what I tell him.
What goes around comes around.
It comes around.
Well, it does come around. And if
and
it doesn't come
around. It's apparent that it did come around.
Thank you, Alvaro. Well, if it doesn't come around in cash, it comes around in karma, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Alvaro, absolutely. Thank you. That was a very nice introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice segue, too, by the way.
Thanks. So, I mean, I'm excited to speak with you at this upcoming seminar to help professionals, but even more so getting to interview you. You know, I think I saw an interview. I don't watch the show, but The Housewives, okay. I saw you got interviewed on that. So, you know, since then I've been trying to come up with good questions. But honestly, you know, what do you see in the 20 plus years that you've been practicing? You know, what have you seen change over the legal landscape?
In family law?
Yeah.
You know, I think to be a family lawyer is now accepted. When I first started, people didn't do family law unless they really had to. They had a family member or a friend. It was not something that was, you know, looked upon with envy or pride. People thought, I don't want to do that. But then if you think about it, a lot of laws like that. Who wants to represent criminals? Who wants to represent people going through bankruptcy? Who wants to represent people that are maimed and hurt? You know, every one of us that's practicing law are helping people that are in need. And it's sort of what I've seen over 20 years is now it's okay to be a divorce lawyer. It's sort of like that Saturday Night Live episode that Bruce might remember, but no one else does, you know, that what was it? I like myself. I do this and I
good enough. Yeah. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you for that. You come through. But I think that's it. And you know, to actually be able to tell people that, yeah, I practice family law, and not feel ashamed of it, not feel like, you know, if you really need me, I'll do it. Instead, look, if you have a problem, it happens. But it's not just because lawyers have come a long way. It's because, unfortunately or fortunately, divorce is now easier and it's more prevalent. And you can comment whether that's good or bad, but you see third world countries where people can't get a divorce and people are stuck in horrific marriages. Mm-hmm. There's a time and place. And, you know, I really believe a good divorce is better than a really bad marriage in a lot of places. And, you know, we hear people say, well, I'm waiting until the kids are old enough and I really didn't want to do it for the kids' sake. And then they get a divorce and they tell their teenagers they're getting a divorce. And I hear all the time, my teenage son said to me, Dad, what took you so long? You know, we've been miserable. And it's shocking to me that, you know, it's okay if you do it right. So that's, I guess, the biggest transformation I've seen over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more accepted, you know, these days. Mm-hmm. What with all the different issues out there, I mean, are you seeing a lot of contempt modifications, same-sex marriage issues?
Ooh, you name it, we are seeing it. I mean, there are all sorts. There's international custody issues. There's this new turn of events in the Kelly Rutherford case. I'm going to be talking about that later today. The gossip girl whose children were taken out of the country because her husband couldn't live in the States anymore. You know, international custody issues have come a long way. It used to be if a child was taken overseas, you might never get them back. We all remember the Sean and David Goldman case in Brazil. You know, so there have been a lot of strides in international custody and same-sex marriage. We're going to find out next month whether same-sex marriage becomes the law of the land or not. And I will say right now in public on national radio, international radio, right? You can get this anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% in favor of same-sex divorce. Because, you know, it's you know, people say divorce is a bad thing, and this is really interesting, but divorce is a good thing. Breaking up, the separation of a family may be a bad thing, but the process, to have some rules of engagement, instead of just saying I'm leaving and I'm taking everything, divorce is actually the mechanics. It's the rules that we play by if we have to separate. So while the breakup of a family might be terrible and horrible, the fact that we have a system is a good thing, and that's why I'm in favor of same-sex divorce, so that people that are in same-sex relationships that have houses together, or businesses together, or children together, have some formula to disengage instead of just chaos.
I like the way you put that it is it's, you know, you're saying whether it happens, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So at least have it be the best way that, so everybody plays by
have some rules.
I absolutely love the way you said that.
So how do you, you know, in with all the divorces that you've seen, you know, how do you decide, or do you decide if it goes down the settlement path? I know you're a trial lawyer also. How do you know when a case, you know?
Well, you know, there are a bunch of sayings and cliches that are probably sticking around because there's some truth to them. You know, if you want peace, prepare for battle. That's, you know, one of the big ones. That there are a lot of lawyers that will settle cases, and there are a lot of people that will settle cases. And I think, you know, people lose sight of the fact that it's really always the client's decision. All we do is to give them advice, and I think the best advice we can do is to say, if you go to trial, given what we know, here's what we think the parameters are, and the other side is offering X, we think that is within the realm of what could happen in court. Do you want to pay us another $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to tempt it and see if we can get a little more? But you don't really know. And a judge once said to me, it only takes one person to make it go to trial. You know, you have to have both lawyers willing to settle and compromise, both clients, maybe the parents and the family members and the advisors and the therapists. You know, everybody's got to be on board. But if one of those parties or people just say, I'm not going to settle, and divorce, it happens for all sorts of reasons. We all know that. You know, I'm not going to settle because, and the because is not because the settlement is not fair, but it's maybe emotional and they don't want to admit it. I'm not going to settle because that means tomorrow he can go marry somebody else, or because I'm not going to let him have his peace or her have her peace. And that's P-E-A-C.
Not peeps.
So, I mean, is there a way to avoid trial in a divorce case, or is it?
Yeah, you think about it like this. It's just stuff. You know, it's just stuff. And I don't think divorce is really about money. And that sounds silly coming from me. A lot of people are going to say, of course it's about money. You want to get as much as you can. But, you know, if you want to be as rich as you can, then you don't get a divorce. Because now, after divorce, there are two households on the exact same income. Mm-hmm. So you've now got twice the expense. So, to me, I think if there's a generic or a generalization, divorce is about finding happiness, finding a place where you will be better off and enjoy your life more. And if you really think that the only way to do that is by getting a divorce, I hope it's a last resort. I hope it's the last thing you try. But if that's the case, you can't move on until you settle. So settlement is obviously something everybody should look at and consider. You know, and of course, it's got to be a knowing settlement. You've got to try your best to figure out what there is. But some people want out so bad that they're going to sign anything, and there's not a lot we can do. And some people want to fight so bad, there's not anything we can do. Our job is just to sort of be a sounding board and say, here's what I think. Here's my gut feeling. And the more you pay us, the more we'll find out, the better information we'll have. But the longer it's going to go and the more it's going to cost.
One of Randy's many skills is that he's very good at getting people to look just beyond the emotion. And, you know, obviously what he's dealing with are extremely emotional situations where you've got people who will, you know, seemingly cling to who gets the china you know, beyond any point of logic, but just because there's such an emotional, not an attachment to that object, but to either continuing to want to hurt the other person who you know or think may want the china, or beyond that, if you really agree to let go of the china, you sort of lose the connection that you
Absolutely.
Have to this person in your life. And Randy's great at getting people to sort of get beyond these personal
things. I can't tell you how many sets of china or VCRs or DVDs we bought because someone says, I'm not going to give her the DVD for that reason, Bruce. They don't want to let the relationship go.
Right.
You know, if I sign that document right there, then this is the last time that I can make him come into your office and talk to me.
Yeah. It may be all they have is aggravation, but that's all they have, and they don't want to let go of it.
So, you know, as busy as you are, you know, you just flew in from the annual Family Law Institute, CLE, this past weekend. You know, you have a whole team of lawyers.
Absolutely. I couldn't do it. You know, I mean, I am out there a lot. You're right. I'm traveling. I'm speaking a lot. And we have 14 lawyers. And we have 14 great lawyers. And if we didn't have 14 great lawyers, then I couldn't do what I do. I'd be in my office in the cubicle working on everything myself. But I'm lucky enough that I get documents prepared for me that I can spend an hour or two reviewing. Somebody else has spent 7, 8, 9 hours on. And that's just, I'm blessed to be able to have that and to be able to rely on that. And the most important thing is to be able to walk into somebody else's office. And we all have, you know, colleagues in our offices that we can walk in and say, am I crazy? This client says that this is a fair result, but I think she's seeing it in a little bit of a skewed or, you know, way. And we have sounding boards in our office and good mentors, and we're lucky to have those.
So how do you choose which lawyer is going to work on a case? I mean, does everybody get Randy, or how does that work?
You know what Randy means in England, okay? So, all right. Anyway,
Tuesday morning.
Moving right along. Right. You know, I sort of do, sometimes I say I do triage in my head, but everybody has their skill set. I mean, we're all good lawyers. Anybody in our office could try a good jury trial, a custody case, whatever it is. But there's some people in our office that love the big business disputes where there's going to be a business valuation and a division of, you know, stock options and things like that. And there's some people that really like the custody issues, and some people that really want to defend the domestic violence victim who's in an abusive relationship, not on the criminal side, but on the civil side and as part of the divorce. So it depends. And also sometimes clients just fall in love with some of our lawyers. They have two or three lawyers working on the case, and they start talking to one lawyer, and they say, this person really gets me. And I really want that for a lot of reasons. I mean, aside from the fact that it frees up my time to be able to see the big picture, it trains the younger lawyers, and it also saves the client money. And that sounds weird to say, but the more they use younger lawyers and other lawyers, the less they're going to have to pay my rate, which is better for them. They can bring me in for the real serious discussion, the trial, whatever they want. But if someone wants to pay my $600 an hour, I'll answer phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning and talk to them all day long.
So, I mean, I know you're known as an expert family lawyer, an expert, you know, giver, lawyer, marketer. More importantly, though, what do you think of Al Horford's flagrant two on Sunday?
Oh, you know, Bruce was talking about emotions and not letting go. You know? Man, I can't let go. Tonight is the night.
Tonight's the night.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful season for those of us that have been around a long time, for us old-timers who've been suffering. And my office is very close to Phillips Arena, so that combined with the fact that we represent a lot of athletes and I love basketball, I've been a, you know, long-time Hawks fan, a long-time Hawks advocate, and it's just fun to see a team get there instead of just, you know, a one-horse show. Not talking about you, LeBron, but, you know.
Exactly. And I think I speak for all of us in the room when I say that is the worst call in playoff history.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so obviously you're, like Bruce says, anybody can probably find Randy if they open a newspaper, turn on a TV. But what's the best way to get a hold of you?
RandyKessler.com if you want to. But if you want any of the books, MyDivorceBooks.com can point you to where to get some of those books. That Divorce Protect book is actually a good overview for those of you that may be thinking about it or have a friend that may be considering it but don't want to go into a lawyer's office. That's sort of why I wrote it, so that people come to me. If they've read it, they already have gotten a lot of the stuff out of the way that they would usually have to pay an hour or two of my time to talk about. But you can look me up. The Child Support app is, download Georgia Child Support Calculator if you think you might have to pay child support but you don't want to go to a lawyer to find out how much. That gives you a good little heads up on it. But just look my name up and call us and see what we can do for you.
Follow him on LinkedIn.
That's
as
it.
An influencer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward, obviously, to June 10th.
Yes.
I think that'll be a fun event, just, you know,
awesome.
To see what happens with with marketing in terms of what's working, what's not working, what's going to happen in the next, you know, 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I even have personal injury attorneys and DUI attorneys who are worried about, you know, what's going to happen with these cars that drive themselves. Is that going to affect my DUI practice? Is that going to affect my personal injury practice? And so there's a lot of tips out there for lawyers based on, you know, Randy's experience, based on my experience. And we also think a lot of other professionals out there in Atlanta.
I have a feeling Bruce is going to be there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of professionals that could not only learn these good tips, but then also the networking opportunity afterwards.
Well, don't sell yourself short. I mean, the best part of the whole seminar is that, you know, Alvaro, you only have one or two clients. I'm being facetious. You know, Alvaro sees this from a whole bunch of different perspectives, not just in Georgia, but all across the country. So he sees what's trending, and he keeps his finger on the pulse, and he's not only a hip guy, he actually looks like a hip guy. So if you know him or if you've seen him, I mean, he really knows what's going on, and he knows the next thing coming, and that's what's sort of been interesting to watch him grow from managing one small firm and making them take off to managing hundreds.
Yeah, we didn't get to toot your horn that much.
That's
all
right. That's okay. We're out of time.
Well, I am looking forward to the event as well, and I think it's what, again, I have to put my ale plug in, but for Atlanta Legal Experts stands for. When we first started this, we never realized the amount of networking that actually just goes on around the table. People listen to their other peers talk about their professions, and then they sit there and go, wait, I have a case for him. And so they're passing cases at the end of the day, and it's awesome. I love seeing that. It happens in my offices. There's just a community of lawyers that work together and refer each other business, and I've got a little forte. My little forte is introducing people to other people that can help them. That's something that I love to do. So it's the whole going back to the giving thing. So that's exactly why we wanted to sponsor this event, and I think it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, you guys have grown. Legal Experts, your network has grown over 1,000 now? Or?
Yeah, we're close to that. Yeah, close to 2,000 almost.
So it's like the legal version of The Bachelor, is that it?
That's on Wednesday mornings. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for being here. This has been an awesome episode, and everybody has been here before, and I'm just glad to have everybody back. Well, Bruce has, his counterpart has.
That's right. Merlin Earl, one of our great associates, has been here, and so but he's said wonderful things, and I know he's enjoyed it, and I have as well.
Yes, it's been great. So we look forward to the event, and remember, go to AtlantaLegalExperts.com for all the information on the people that are here today, and go to 3ALawManagement.com for the link to the event, and we'll see you next week.